You'll find our scripture reading this evening in the New Testament scriptures, book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll commence our reading from the 11th verse, the 9th chapter, Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, and reading from verse 11. And as you are turning to it in your Bible, I'd just like to take this opportunity to express my thanks and appreciation to the elders of Faith Free Presbyterian Church for the privilege of coming to minister the Word of God from this pulpit during the month of June and the first Sunday of July. I must say that I have been blessed in my own soul as I have been here. I'd like to thank you folks for making me feel at home. I have had many times of sweet fellowship in many homes, and it certainly has encouraged my heart. There were homes that I've gone into, and we have talked on the things of the Lord from when we went in until it was time to leave. I've had the joy and the privilege of meeting with families, even in family worship in the evening time, and my soul has been blessed and enriched by that. Even in those times when I was staying at the manse, the Lord was speaking to me. I thank the Lord for those precious times that I had there. He was ministering to my soul, and he was pointing out many things to me, and I do thank him and praise him, and I give him all the glory. When I knew I was coming over here, it was my earnest prayer that when I would come, that as I would preach the word, that the name of the Lord would be uplifted, exalted, and glorified in this congregation. And I trust that by God's grace, that has been so over the Sundays and the Wednesday evenings that I have ministered the word of the Lord to you. Thank you very much. We'll turn to our scripture reading, the 11th verse of Hebrews 9. Let us hear the word of God. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We land our reading there at the close of that ninth chapter, knowing that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his own inspired word for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us in this service this evening. We rejoice that we have another privilege of turning to thy blessed truth. We thank thee and we praise thee that we have another privilege of speaking to the unsaved. And O Lord, we ask thee for grace, for strength, for wisdom, for unction from on high, for power from the sanctuary of God, that, oh, we might warn men and women, yea, boys and girls faithfully, to flee from the wrath which is to come. O Lord, wilt thou thyself come in our midst? O wilt thou stand in our midst in all of thy risen power? And grant, O God, that as thy word goes forth, even from stumbling lips of clay, Lord, thou wilt take thy truth and thou wilt bless it to the hearts of those that know not Christ. Oh, we pray earnestly for those in this meeting who are unsaved, those, Lord, who are not in that saving relationship with Christ. Oh, we pray this evening that they would be brought into such a relationship. Oh, Lord, come. Come and work by thy Spirit now. Shelter us underneath the precious blood, we pray. Drive back every force of darkness, every imp of the pit. And grant that there will be an highway in this meeting for the preaching of the glorious gospel of free and sovereign grace. Lord, come, breathe upon us now, meet with us, and bless us. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Death is a fact of life. You might say that's somewhat of a paradox, but it's true. Because we are born to die. When we speak of someone dying, and you hear of their death, you hear that they have passed on, the question is usually asked, oh, what happened? And the answer may come forth, well, it was from natural causes. Through bodily infirmity, through the organs of the body ceasing to function, we would say it was through natural causes. We might hear of the death of someone else. We asked what happened. Oh, well, it was very sudden. It was very unexpected. And in Ulster, we have many of those deaths. Sudden, unexpected. Those that have met with the last great enemy of the souls of men, by the bomb and by the assassin's bullet. And they have been ushered out into the great eternity of God. We have heard too often that tramp of feet as the funeral cortege has been followed. We have heard too often that funeral music being played as members of the security forces would be taken to be laid in Mother Earth. We have listened to the sound of the muffled drum. And another one has gone down. Death has come. Swiftly. Unexpectedly. For many, they were not expecting it. But the great enemy of death came and struck home. I think of that man that we read of in the book of Daniel, in the fifth chapter. You remember Belshazzar. He was a man who was enjoying a tremendous night of revelry. No doubt the wine and the food was good. He didn't realize that the enemy was just outside the gates of the city. But we do read in the Word of God that in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Suddenly, death had come. Before, there was no doubt laughter, merriment. They were enjoying the wine and enjoying the food at the feast. Then suddenly, there was human blood for wine. And there were dying groans for music. And death had come. I'm going to speak to you for a few moments tonight upon death. I just want to speak very forcefully, very straight, very simply. For I realize it'll probably be the last time that I'll ever see you. I want to speak to you upon death. We were reading in this 9th chapter of Hebrews, in that verse 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. It's interesting to note where this verse is placed. Because you'll note in the verse following, in the verse 28, we read these words, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now read the both verses together. "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." This verse 28 speaks of Christ being once offered to bear the sins of many. And by that death, he secured eternal redemption for his people. It was a once-for-all act. It was a once-for-all sacrifice. He came into this world and he offered himself on Calvary's middle tree, a sacrifice that never needs to be repeated. But he is coming again. He is coming the second time. He's going to appear the second time in great glory. There was that once for all act when he offered himself on the cross at Calvary. Then as a result of that, by his death, burial, resurrection, there is an inevitable consequence that is going to follow, because he's going to appear the second time. He's coming again. And you'll notice how this is illustrated to us by the words in verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and he'll appear the second time." There was a once for all act, and there's an inevitable consequence. Here we see that there is used the illustration of death and the judgment to come, even to illustrate that. Isn't it strange that the apostle would use this as an illustration? That it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed, you see, it's laid up. It's as if God has laid up for men to die. It's appointed that we will die. And death is laid up for every one of us. Unless the Lord quickly returns. Death is something God has laid up for us. Death is something God has, as it were, laid up for every son of Adam. It's appointed. It's laid up for you, man. It's laid up for you, woman, to die. And as you look at a newborn child, there's one thing you can say for certain about it, that it will die one day. It will die one day. Our bodies, healthy now, when death comes, one day those bodies are going to be eaten by the worms. We may give great attention to our bodies now, but there's a day coming when they're going to be put in Mother Earth, and they're going to return to the dust from whence they were made. That's the solemn fact. And then there's the inevitable consequence, but after this, the judgment. There's a judgment to follow. There's a judgment to follow. This is a solemn fact, the fact of death, the certainty of death. And I have heard it put this way, and I'll just quote it to you, that as death leaves you, the judgment will find you. And as the judgment finds you, the eternity of God will hold you. How so? That when death meets a sinner, and that sinner dies in that state without Christ, he faces the judgment of God in that state without Christ, and he stays in an eternity without Christ. How solemn to think that there could be men and women in this meeting, and that will be your experience. That will be your experience. That you'll spend an eternity banished from the presence of God. Because you're not in Christ. You're not saved. You have no saving relationship with Him. You have not the blood mark upon you, the blood of the everlasting covenant. But get one thing straight tonight. Death is a fact, and death is certain. Are you afraid to die? I talk to some of God's saints, and they're afraid to die. I talk to some of God's people, and they say, "Oh, preacher, what will it be when I go into those waves of Jordan? How will I be able to face death? For I've never been down that way before." How will you face death unsaved? How will you face death, you who are out of Christ? You who are going to die? Are you prepared to die? Are you really prepared to face death? Or are you trying to console your heart in some way by some figment of your imagination that death is the end? It can't be. The Word of God declares that there's a judgment to come. Do I speak to someone and you say, "Oh, but I believe when death comes and there's no life in the body and the body goes into Mother Earth, that's the end, there's nothing more. Why should I fear death? Why should I really trouble to prepare to meet death when that's the end?" But that's not the end. That's not the end. There's something after death. That which goes into the grave will one day come out of the grave. We find that in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 28. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." So the grave is not the end. "And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." They shall come forth. There's a day coming when they will be brought forth from the grave. That body will be brought forth. Your body man, your body woman will be brought forth. So the grave is not the end. Don't rest in that. Don't rest in that this evening and say, "Oh well, it'll not be too bad because death's the end. It'll all be over and I'll know nothing more." That's not in accordance with God's word. Don't console yourself with that this evening. Or you say, "Well, I wouldn't say I'm saved. I wouldn't say I'm in a saving relationship to Christ. But I've always heard it said that God is merciful. I've always heard it preached that God is gracious. I've always heard it preached that God is a God of love. And I can't see how a God of love is going to banish me from His presence. I who have lived the good life, I who have lived the upright life, I who have lived the moral life, I who have done many good works, I who have been very neighborly, I who would do anything I could to help anyone. I can't see how that the God of love is going to banish me from His presence when I go out into the great eternity of God. I can't see that. I cannot just imagine how that a God of love could do that." Well, if that be so, then, sinner, you have a different view of sin than what a holy God has. Because there was only one way in the great eternal plan of God whereby man, the sinner, could be brought into reconciliation with a holy God. God had to send forth His only begotten Son, aye, even into the very confines of a virgin's womb, and he had to go forth to the cross at Calvary, shed his life's blood, in order that sinners could be reconciled to God. And if you don't come by the way of the cross, there's no eternity with God in heaven. No eternity with God in heaven without the shedding of blood. We read there's no remission of sin. Without the blood being applied, sinner, there's no way you will spend an eternity in heaven. Are you prepared to face death in the light of this? Are you really prepared to face death? But you say, well, I feel I am. I have not been really a bad person, you see. I haven't been a bad sinner. And I haven't committed those terrible outward acts of sin. But my friend, you don't have to do that to be counted a sinner in God's sight. You don't have to go out and commit the sin of murder to be a real sinner in God's sight. You don't have to go out and commit the act of adultery to be viewed a sinner in God's sight. Not when we read those words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Not when we read words such as these in verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, and our Lord is speaking, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, it's not just in the outward act, but if the very thought is there, it's sin in the sight of a holy God. There are the sins of our mind, of our heart, our sinful thoughts that God is displeased with and God is angry with. And unless the blood be applied, then there is no remission for those sins. Are you prepared to die? I'm speaking straight to you tonight. I'm just speaking simple and plain tonight. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to face death? Remember what we read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. You say that's a very strange thing, preacher, to say blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. How could you say that anyone who would die would be blessed? Yet the word of God says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Notice why they are blessed. There's a relationship that has been established. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Those who are in Christ. And how did they come to be in Christ? Were they in that state by nature? No, they were sinful sons and daughters of Adam. They weren't in Christ by nature. So by that supernatural act of the Spirit of God, they experienced the new birth that brought them into that saving relationship in Christ. They were in Him. And to die in Christ is blessed indeed, because to be in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. Think of the words that we read in John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 24. Listen, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Death in the sense of judgment for sin. But those who are in Christ have passed from death. They have come away from having their sin judged on themselves, and they've passed from death unto life because they're in Christ. And Christ has tasted death for every man who's in him. Are you in Christ tonight? Is there that relationship established? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Could I say that they're blessed because of a release which has been effected? What happens at death? What takes place at death? Physical death. The soul is separated from the body. That's what happens when death takes place. When the clay tenement begins to reel and to shake from the cold, icy north wind of death. The soul is released from the body. That's what happens at death. And what is it for those who are in Christ that have the relationship established? They go to be with Christ, which is far better. That's why they are blessed. But what of you who will meet death out of Christ? Let me say that death has a dagger that will run you through. Death has a dagger that will destroy you if you meet with death outside of Christ. But for those who meet with death in Christ, there is that message from the eternal throne. Release him who is joined to my Son. There is a release effected, and there is perfect blessedness for those who die with a saving relationship in Christ. And they are blessed also because of a rest entered. Entering into that blessed rest for eternity. What a blessing. But when death comes to you and you're outside of Christ, there will be no rest entered. But you will enter that place of turmoil. That place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What a terrible place to go. What a terrible place to go, sinner. What a terrible place to go. And to be there, never to get out. To be there, never to get out. There'll be no blessing there. There'll be no blessing there. And yet death could meet you tonight. You could be there tonight. You could be there tonight, sinner. You could be in that place tonight. You could be tormented in those flames tonight. You could be there before midnight. And you've little concern about your soul. You're not saved. Oh, sinner, realize the terrible consequences that are yours. To die outside of Christ and be lost forever and go through the valley alone, to be lost in a Christless hell.
to have a soul that's doomed and damned forever. That will be you, unless you come to Christ. And him that cometh, he will not cast out. There's safety, there's refuge in him. And in him, we can face death with confidence. We can go through the dark valley with confidence, knowing that he is there. We can rest in him. But without him, oh sinner, without him, you must perish forever. Are you concerned tonight? Are you concerned tonight that if death strikes, you're lost because you're not saved? You haven't the saving relationship with Christ. May you come tonight. May God save you for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we ask thee that thou wouldst work in the hearts of those who are unsaved. Those, Lord, who could face death tonight, death at any moment, and they're not in Christ. And it could not be said of them that they would be blessed when death comes, for they haven't that saving relationship with the Lord. And for them, they must face the horrors of the pit forever and ever. O Lord, wilt thou show them the urgency of this night, yea, even now, getting right with God, making preparation for the great eternity. Oh, that they would come. O Lord, that they would have that confidence from thy word that it is well with their soul, and that they are scripturally prepared to face death. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, could I just say this, that if there's one in this meeting and God has spoken to you and God has convicted you, God, by his Spirit, through his word, has greatly troubled your heart and you're anxious, you're concerned, then I'm your servant for Christ's sake. If you'd like to speak with me, then wait behind after the others have gone. Or speak to me as you're going out the door, and I'll be glad to meet with you. I'll be glad to talk to you. I'll be glad to help you from the word of God. But I ask you, are you prepared to die? There is only one way that you can be prepared, and that is to know of your salvation in Christ Jesus. And if you know not of that, then scripturally, you're not prepared to face death and the great eternity. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wouldst bless the word that has gone forth. Draw sinners unto Christ, we pray. May thy great name be glorified this night. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.